And we had a study on those. And tonight I want to look at another aspect of God, who is the Holy Spirit. And this is actually in preparation for next Sunday's sermon. But we need to understand the names and nature of God, because inside of that we see the character and what God can do for us. You know, God gives us a new name. There's many, many examples in the Old Testament. Basically, He changed Abram's name to Abraham. Went from exalted father to Abraham, father of a multitude. And we know that Abraham is the father of all those that believe in God and in Christ. Sarai's name was changed from Sarai, which means princess, to Sarah, which means a noble woman. And if you look at Abraham and Sarah, they had to give themselves up in their titles and surrender to God. And that's how they would express the promises and experience the promises of that. Jacob went from being a supplanter or a heel grabber, okay, to Israel, where God prevails. See, God wants to give us a new name. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, he talks to the church of Pergamos. And he says this, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh." The only way we can overcome is through a relationship with Jesus Christ and be drawn and led by the Spirit. "Will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a what? A new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that hath received it." My question to you, have you received a new name from Christ? Have you received a new beginning? Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? We need to do that. And if you do not know Him as your Savior, tonight, either here or on the internet, pray to God to forgive you. Understand that His Son died on the cross for your sin, that He was buried and rose again, and He offers salvation and forgiveness of sins to all who would believe in Him as God. So God gives us a new name. Now, there are a bunch of Old Testament names for God, and what they do is they are revealed titles or characters of God to Israel. These were names that God gave Himself so Israel would understand who God really is. The world today does not understand who God is. Some Christians today don't understand who God is. Now, there is no way you're going to write all these down this quick. So you can go back later, I'll give you the list. But Elohim, God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have El Olam, who is the everlasting God. We have El Shaddai. A song was written by that. Lord God Almighty. El Elon, the Most High God. Then He has another name, Adonai. Adonai, which means Lord or Master. Yahweh, which actually is a word with all consonants and no vowels, which is translated as Lord of Jehovah. And then there's all the Jehovah names. There's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. God should lead us. You know, we sing the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers." We follow God's banner. Are you following God's banner tonight? Are you following His standard? Are you following His emblem? Are you following His direction tonight? Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Then you have Jehovah Rapha, He's the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, He's the Lord that is there. Jehovah Tiskenu, He's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Miskatushkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. See, God is all these things and so much more because He's God. And so, as the Old Testament was written and Israel came through being led by God, He gives them names to say, "This is who I am." Tonight, I want you to understand who God is. And I want you to understand that He is the same God. Then there are the titles or names for Jesus. Some of them are prophesied, but in the New Testament, He is called the Christ or the Anointed One. He is Lord. He is equal with God. He is our Master, and He should be. He is the Logos. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. He's all God and all man. Only one ever like that. He's a son of David, which means He has the right to the throne. He is the Lamb of God, which means He's a perfect sacrifice. He's the new Adam, because the first Adam messed up, and we mess up all the time. He's the second Adam that gave us redemption. He's the last Adam, because when God settles something, it's settled. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the springs of living water. There's all sorts of other names for Christ. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. You could think, and you know something? We need to reflect on who God the Father is. We need to reflect on who God the Son is. But tonight, I want us to reflect on the Holy Spirit. See, the purposes of the Holy Spirit. There are six of them. There's more, but there's six primary ones. The first one is, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to put God inside of us, so we can live the way God wants us to live. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot do God's will. You can't do it in your own strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of who? God." You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's a gift. "And ye are not your own." God has changed your name. He's given you a new start. He's made you a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can follow Him. Secondly, He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If you want validation, if you're God's kid, is God teaching you? Is God leading you? Or you never see God work in your life. If you never see God work in your life, then there's something wrong. So, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to indwell in us, to lead us, to teach us. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter," or the Paraclete, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, He says, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name." We see the Trinity here. We have God the Father, God the Son, My name, and then God the Holy Spirit. "He shall" what? "Teach you," and there's that word, "all things." You want to know the direction for your life? Ask God. You want to know what to do in your life? Ask God. You want answers to your questions? Ask God. Look at His Word. Follow it. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to empower us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You cannot know true, absolute joy unless you're led by the Spirit. You cannot know God's peace unless the Holy Spirit leads you. You cannot have the knowledge of God unless the Holy Spirit is in you. You cannot have hope unless you have God in you. Because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's to indwell us, it's to lead us, it's to teach us, it's to empower us. And then nextly, it's to show the character of Christ. The whole gift of the Holy Spirit is so we can be Christ-like. so we be Christ-like. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Christ in the same passage that he's talking to his disciples and he's praying, he says, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from my Father, he shall testify of me. See, the Holy Spirit's function, he was all God, but he was going to lead people to Christ. How can someone get to God unless the Spirit, what? Draw him. So, it's to show the character of Christ, and lastly, it's to show things to come. It's to show things to come. We have an uncertain future. I hear that over and over and over again. In these uncertain times, in this uncertain future, we don't know. I know one thing. I know when I pass from this life to the next, I'll be in heaven.
Amen.
Forever with God. I do know that. I know He's prepared a place for me. He's coming back for me. In John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says this, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself. And see, His job is to show the character of Christ. His job is to allow us to be able to be Christ-like. He says, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you what? Things to come. You know something? That's a challenge for us. Whatsoever we hear God say to us, we ought to what? Speak. Whatsoever God shows us to go, we ought to go that way. And so that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want to talk about 10 names of the Holy Spirit and how they will apply to us in these times. The first one is that He is the Spirit of truth. We've just read that. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. Don't you think you know God without the revelation of Jesus Christ and without a relationship? I don't care who you think you are, it isn't that way. You must know God for who He is. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, because for He what? Dwelleth in you and shall be in you. So the issue is that the Spirit of truth is inside of us, so that I should never be deceived. In 1 John chapter 4, hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it's error. It's a bad decision. It's bad language. It's bad entertainment. It's bad food. It's bad drink. It's bad activities. It's bad everything. If it's not there, it's bad. It's bad. That's the Spirit of truth. Are you following the Spirit of truth? If you're not, Paul warns Timothy, he says, don't be drawn off by vain and foolish, profane and vain babblings. Okay? Don't be carried off by every wind of doctrine. So we need the Spirit of truth. Secondly, we need the Spirit of faith. The Spirit of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we having the what? Same Spirit of faith. Now, I believe in God, that's going to get me to heaven. Nope. There's only one way. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord in all, and all in all. And so, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. Folks, we need to speak the same thing. We need to believe the same thing. And it doesn't matter if you're here or in Africa, He's the same God. Doesn't matter if you're here or in Africa, it's the same Holy Spirit. Salvation is only by Jesus Christ. And so if we understand the Spirit of truth, I should never be deceived. If we understand the Spirit of faith, I should never be discouraged. Because I have something that passeth understanding. I have something that the world doesn't have and cannot give. I have the Spirit of faith. See, the Holy Spirit allows you to do the things that Brother Mike this morning was talking about. About something that was so far outlandish that God would never do that. And basically turn our no into a yes. And folks, we need to be able to do that. So we need the Spirit of truth. We need the Spirit of faith. Thirdly, we need the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, it says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant whereby he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the what? Spirit of grace." See, we're supposed to not frustrate the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to do all that. We're supposed to live a holy life. And folks, if you know Christ as your Savior, you believe what He did on the cross for you, and you saw the suffering that he went through, it should change you. It should change your whole perspective. It could take you out of the gutter and put you on the mission field. And if it hasn't changed your direction, and you're doing the same thing that you did before you received Christ, there's something wrong. And see, the Spirit of grace basically means this, that I should never be disgruntled. I should never hold God to blame for things that happen. Because it says that everything give what? Thanks. Rejoice evermore. So it's the Spirit of truth, it's the Spirit of faith, it's the Spirit of grace. Nextly, it's the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of holiness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness." See, Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? He had all of it. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He prayed in the Spirit. You can read the Gospels and you can see that Christ lived in the Spirit, because there is no life outside of the Spirit. And folks, we need to do the same thing too. "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." See, if we understand the Spirit of holiness, then we should never be defiled. Those thoughts should never cross our mind. When we see sin, it should be exceedingly sinful. When we know it's the wrong thing to do, we wouldn't even consider doing it. But why do we do it? Why do people still do it? Because we don't have a clear perspective of God and what God has given us. And I should never be defiled. I should never be discouraged. I should never be disgruntled. And so we need the Spirit of holiness. Tonight, do you have the Spirit of truth? Do you have the Spirit of faith? Do you need more of God's grace? Do you need to be holy? It's a command. "Be ye therefore holy as I am holy." Fifth, we need the Spirit of wisdom. We've been studying this and we've seen this verse a couple of times on Wednesday night. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that "the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom." See, that lines up perfectly with James chapter 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him" what? "Ask of God." Who what? "Give it to all men liberally." Don't tell me the Bible has contradictions. It is congruent all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and it's consistent all the way through. There is no inconsistency there. If you think there is one, then you need a better understanding of God's Word. So, the Spirit of wisdom, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, I want you to experience what Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. That we could be able to comprehend the height and depth and breadth and length of God's love. And that would change our lives. I want us to dig into God's Word. I want us to yield to the Holy Spirit and be surrendered. So we see things that are new and fresh every morning. And we know more about Him. And the more we know about God, the more we want to know. We should thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that through hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. But if you never hunger, you'll never get it. If you never seek God's wisdom, you'll never find it. And therefore, the spirit of wisdom should be, I should never be daunted. If there's a task too big, you ask God. If there's a problem too hard, you ask God. If there's situations you can't understand, you ask God. Is there an environment that you're in that doesn't make sense, like the one we're in right now? Folks, we need to ask God. Amen. And we need to live by His wisdom. So we need the spirit of wisdom. Number six comes up from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The next three are out of this one thing here. There's a lot of people, even Christians today, living in fear. Living in fear. And it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know who gives us the spirit of fear? Satan. And where fear abounds, that's an opportunity for faith to abound even more. That's a time to draw us back to Him. And so, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. There's three things in here that the Spirit will give us. The first one is a spirit of power. Okay? A spirit of power. So I should never be defeated. See, we know the end of the story. Even going through times like this, and we were talking at lunch with Mike and his wife, and so I would have never thought, and no one would ever thought, that we'd be where we are right now. But you know something? We're still not defeated. We still have the same God. We're still going to the same place. We have the same eternity sewed up. We should never be defeated. He says, we are more than what? Conquerors through Him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, even though the he that is in the world looks pretty big right now. So see, if we have the spirit of power, I should never be defeated. The second one is, if we have the spirit of love, I should never be despondent. See, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love endures all things, suffers all things, believes all things. Okay? Doesn't puff itself up. Does all these things. And folks, that's having the right spirit. What did Christ say? What's the greatest commandment in law? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can only do that by the Holy Spirit, by the way. And then the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I guarantee you, you need the Holy Spirit to love some of your neighbors. To love some of your co-workers. To love some of those around you. Because people don't act lovely right now. And so we need a spirit of love. So I should never be despondent. I should never be discordant. I should never be out of touch with God. Then number eight. We need a spirit of a sound mind. A spirit of a sound mind. So I should never be disturbed. And the Bible says, I shall not worry about what man can do to me. Because I have the God. I have God as my hope. I have God as my rock. I have God as my refuge. I have God as my stay. I got God as my shield. I have God. I have all these things. All the things that we need in order to get through the trials that we have. We have it there. The last two is we need the Spirit of power. In Romans 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law." It's a spirit of life. "In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I hate copy and paste. Okay? So it's a spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, I should never be dead. I should never be dead. You know, we should be lively stones. We should be a peculiar generation, a royal priesthood. The Spirit, what? Quickens us. So it's not spirit of power, it's spirit of life. And then lastly, it's the Spirit of glory. Spirit of glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory in God and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is" what? "Glorified." You know, we are his workmanship, creating Jesus unto good works. "Let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and glory," and what? "Glorify your Father which is heaven." We're put down here for one purpose, to glorify God. You're saved for one purpose, to glorify God. You're given the Holy Spirit for one purpose, so you can glorify God. So you have the Spirit of life, you have the Spirit of glory, you have the Spirit of love, you have the Spirit of faith, you have the Spirit of power. And if I have the Spirit of glory, I should never be dull. You know, you've probably met people that person's pretty dull. They're not exciting. They're not vibrant. But you know what we should be? We should be like a diamond. We should be like a diamond. When you have a high quality diamond, when light shines on it, it's just brilliant. It flashes light everywhere. And that's what we should be. That's what we should be if we have a proper perspective of God, if we have a proper perspective of Christ, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we're not discouraged, and we're not defeated, and we're not despondent, and we're not disturbed, and we're not disgruntled. So how is your life in the Spirit tonight? You know, this started this with about names and God changing our name. And I asked this question: are we carrying on the family name? Are we carrying on the family name? We are God's children. We are in the family of God. We see, "For as many as led by the Spirit, they are the" what? "The sons of God." The Spirit of God has given us, a spirit of life, not of death. The Spirit of God can give us the ability to do things that we never thought possible. And this morning we saw it in Brother Mike. Folks, we have the same opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to change us in the same way. I could never do those things. You're absolutely right. But God can. Let God have control of your life. Surrender to Him and see where God will take you, take your family, and take your church. If you say, "Well, I don't want that," then you don't have faith. And we can fix that tonight. So let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for you this time of invitation. Father, let's just search our hearts. And Father, to help us, Lord, to understand your character, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to live your character through the Holy Spirit. fill us with your Spirit tonight, Father, and help us, Lord, to be more like you. Change us and do not let us be despondent or discouraged or defeated, but Father, to live a victorious and joyful and peaceful life in you. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.